الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام النكاح من سنتي أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you three verses from the Quran Kareem. The first verse, verse 1 of Surah An-Nisa, which is in the fourth juz of the Quran Kareem. The second verse, verse 102 of Surah Ali Imran, which is in the fourth juz of the Quran Kareem. And third and fourth verses from verses 70 and 71 of Surah Ahzab, which is in the 22nd juz of the Quran Kareem. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, Allamana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at-tashahud fi salat wa at-tashahud fi al-haja. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that tashahud, the proclamation of tawheed and oneness of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and proclamation of risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during our salah. That is the tashahud when we perform our salah. At-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Where we make a proclamation of submission to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in all our affairs. And the second is the tashahud in fulfilling our needs. Before we fulfill any needs, the tashahud that we should be reciting. The tashahud for the needs, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, first praise Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, glorify Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, thereafter, recite these three verses of the Quran Kareem. The verse from Surah An-Nisa, the verse from Surah Ali Imran, and two verses from Surah Ahzab. When a nikah takes place, generally, these three verses are recited. And a common message of all these three verses is just one. اتقوا اللہ اتقوا اللہ اتقوا اللہ فی اللہ تبارک و تعالی. اللہ کانشیسنس. In one hadith, it is stated that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came in a form of a human being to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was seated among the Sahaba, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and asked few questions to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first question he asked, Mal Iman? What is Iman? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. Second question, what is Islam? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined Islam. And the third question, what is Ihsan? Loose translation of Ihsan is, what is to be Allah conscious? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. You condition your mind in such a way, you worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in such a way, as though you can see Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if you cannot bring your mind to that position, at least have yaqeen and conviction that indeed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is watching you. This feeling of Allah consciousness is not only confined to our salat. It is general in every aspect of our lives. In our domestic lives, how we as parents treat our children, how the children are supposed to be reacting to parents, the responsibility of the spouses to one another. What is the responsibility of the husband to the wife to the husband? They are governed with this feeling of Allah consciousness. The more we are conscious of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we believe one day we're going to die. One day we're going to stand in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We're going to give hisab and accountability to everything that we do. We are not free to do whatever we want to do. We believe in a concept of hisab in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One day Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to question us. We're going to stand before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and give an account of every action and deed of ours. The more conscious a person is of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the more conscious a person is of hisab and accountability in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the more straight, the more upright the person will be. To have this fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah consciousness in every aspect of our lives. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked a great illustrious sahabi, the qari of this ummah, the greatest qari of this ummah, Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Ubay, define to me, explain to me what is taqwa. What is meant by Allah consciousness? So Ubay radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave a very beautiful explanation. With a practical example, he asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, did you walk in a jungle? Did you walk in a forest? A place that is strewn with thorns. How would you walk? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala told to Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, I would be careful with every step that I take. Perchance, my foot would fall somewhere that I would be pricked by a thorn. So Ubay radiallahu ta'ala told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hakaza at-taqwa. This is exactly what is the definition of taqwa and Allah consciousness. Everything that we do in our life, every step of our life, be governed by Allah consciousness. Talking to someone, interacting with someone, dealing with someone, every aspect of our life must be governed by the khawf of Allah, Allah consciousness. Be conscious of the fact that I'm going to stand before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, I'm going to give an account of every action, every deed of mine. Today a nikah will be taking place, and I decided to give a brief explanation on these three verses of the Quran Kareem, a summarized version of the khutbah that is recited before the nikah. There's so many books written on nikah. The rights of the husband, the rights of the wife. But the unfortunate part is, Who is supposed to be there reading the book is not reading the book. The right of the husband, that the wife is supposed to be reading, not the husband. And the rights of the wife is not supposed to be reading that, the husband is supposed to be reading that. Now the husband is reading the book on the rights of the husband, so he can ask his wife and he can claim what his rights are. Or the wife, she is reading the rights of the wife so that she can come back, when the husband come back home and say, I read this right of mine and that right of mine. Whereas this book is meant for the opposite party to be reading it. And we need to change the mindset. When you're approaching a nikah, do not approach it with this feeling that I'm going to claim my right. Approach a nikah with the feeling that how am I going to fulfill the right of my spouse? If the husband has this approach, I'm going to fulfill the right of my wife. And the wife also has that approach that I'm going to fulfill the right of my husband. Both of them have that approach of serving one another. That is the basis of a successful nikah. The three verses and the common message in all these three verses, ittaqullah. The foundation and the success of a marriage is based on Allah consciousness. The husband, before he is committed to his wife, is first committed to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The wife, before she is committed to her husband, she is first committed to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Both the spouses are going to treat their spouses in a way that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala want them to treat their spouses. If that is the approach in a marriage, then there's always going to be khair, there's always going to be barakah in the marriage, there'll be success in the marriage. In the short time that I have, I just want to share with you two important messages for a successful marriage. First and foremost, tolerance. This is the most important ingredient for a successful marriage, to be tolerant to each other. Both the spouses need to understand, they're coming from different backgrounds. In one house, the siblings have different natures, they may be tolerant to one another. Now you're getting married to somebody out of your family. Your upbringing is different, the spouse's upbringing is different. Both of them are coming from different approaches of life. And now, you're not going to be leading your life by yourself. You're going to be sharing your life with someone. Somebody will be sharing his or her life with you. There's a need to make adjustments. And tolerance is very, very important. Condition the mind when dealing with our spouse that we need to be overlooking, we need to be tolerant. When we perform the nikah, we read the hadith, An-nikahu min sunnati. Nikah is my sunnah, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. But it's not only the nikah that is sunnat, how we lead the marital life, that is also equally sunnat. To perform the nikah is a sunnat, but to lead our life, marital life, according to sunnah, that is also an important sunnah. And one very great sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a nikah, in a marriage, was to be tolerant. Tolerant to the spouse. A great sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif on one occasion. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It was Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of his demise, he had 9 wives. And every day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to every wife. It was the time for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to host Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the night by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Another wife of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she prepared a nice good dish. And she thought to herself, let me share this dish with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she sent the dish with a khadima, with a servant to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala thought to herself that it is my turn to serve Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why should another wife send her dish to me? I can serve Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the dish was given to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she hit the hand of the person, that container fell down and it broke in pieces. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right there. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not burst with anger. He did not use any languages. He contained himself. He understood the feminine nature of a woman. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, simply, he made a statement, gharat ummukum, gharat ummukum. Your mother Aisha has been overcome by possessiveness. Your mother Aisha has been overcome by possessiveness. He himself bends down and he picks up the broken piece of the container. Great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to overlook, to tolerate. One person came to a buzruk, a pious person, and complained about his wife. She's troubling me. And when a person starts complaining of his wife, it's an unending list. It carries on. No end to it. He gave all the complaints about his wife and he asked for advice. The pious person asked, he told him, advise him, forgive her, overlook her. On that he said, how much must forgive her? How much must I overlook her? The pious person mentioned, forgive her and overlook her to the extent you want Allah to forgive you on the day of Qiyamah. Another person came to a pious person complaining about his wife. The pious person asked him, do you have a daughter? Is she married? How do you expect your son-in-law to deal with your daughter? I expect him to overlook her, tolerate her. How you want somebody to look after your daughter, your wife is also somebody else's daughter. Overlook and tolerate her in that way. The second advice for a successful nikah is look after our tongue. In the three verses of the khutbah, the third one is most important. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. Yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that, oh you who believe, have Allah consciousness. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And say that which is straight. You look after your tongue. Just by looking after your tongue, guarding your tongue, then you will reform all your a'mal and all your actions. And because you're going to look after your tongue, you're going to contain yourself, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will forgive you. This is most important in a nikah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, that person who gives the guarantee of two things, he look after two parts of his body, I give him guarantee of Jannah and Paradise. One is his tongue and the other is private part. Look after the tongue. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, he was pulling his tongue out. Apparently, if we have to see somebody pulling his tongue out, we'll think that he's got a mental imbalance. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu pulling his tongue out. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Abu Bakr Siddiq, what are you doing? He said, inna haza awradani fil mawarid. This tongue of mine put me in trouble. On another occasion, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu took a pebble and he put it on his tongue. Umar radiallahu to ask him, what are you doing? He did that to control his tongue. My Sheikh, my Ustad, Hadhrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri sahab madda zilluhu, on this he mentioned, it is as though you put a locking system. Stop your tongue from speaking. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, if there's anything that needed to be imprisoned for a very long period of time, if we need to jail someone, imprison someone for a long period of time, it is your tongue. One muhaddith, Ta'us ibn Kisan rahmatullah alayhi, he said, this tongue of mine, it is like a predator, like a wild animal. If I'm not going to stop it, it will attack me and it will kill me. Very, very important, especially in the nikah, we need to look after our tongues. I'll just mention one incident and conclude with that. Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion we went to his Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. Normally they would talk in the Urdu language, some other language. So on this occasion, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahab, he started talking with Mufti Shafi Sahab in Arabic language. Now they know Arabic, they're great ulama, but you're not as fluent as when you are talking in your mother language, in Urdu language. So Mufti Shafi Sahab was surprised. All the time Hazrat speaks to me in Urdu, why is he speaking to me in Arabic? Then he mentioned that when we talk in our mother language, sometimes that we just, anything just comes out from our tongue. When you talk in another language, you have to first think, and then you are careful, calculated with every word that comes out from your mouth. This is how our akabir used to look after our tongues, and how they used to portray themselves in discussing with one another. Lastly, respected elders and friends, you know, in the nikah, so marital disputes take place, husband and wife has problems. The last word that should come on the mouth is the word of talaq. How often we hear cases, deal with cases, dispute take place, small minor disputes, the husband is saying, uttering the word of talaq. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, Salasun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. Three words, the reality of which is a reality, the joke of it is also a reality. And one of those three words is the word of talaq. Mistakenly also you have to say your wife talaq, directing to your wife, talaq will take place. If it was express words, then it will be a revocable divorce. And if in the course of a dispute, if you have to tell your wife, get out. Any ambiguous words, I don't want you, go to your mother's house. And if at that time and point, if your intention was of a talaq, then talaq-e-bayn will take place. An irrevocable talaq will take place. Now after the incident take place, people ask the fatwa from the Darul Ifta. And then they say that I told it in a state of anger. But if your intention was talaq, remember, a fatwa is only an opinion. Fatwa doesn't make halal to haram and haram to halal. These kind of statements is an issue of halal and haram. A person needs to be fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He himself must make the decision whether his niyat was of talaq or not. Look after our tongue. And this is one of the successes of marriage. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on these three ayat of the Quran Kareem. Allah consciousness, khawf for Allah Ta'ala. Be conscious of the day we're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.